Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, and as one guy said, hypocrisies, hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speaking, that's slander. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You know, Cindy, it's crazy because some things are precious just because of who they belong to. I read today that Elvis Presley's barber kept his hair clippings, and somebody paid $115,000. I guess it was worth a lot because it belonged to him. Do you realize how much you're worth because of who you belong to? Man, think about that. Side note. Anyway, ye also as lively stones are built up spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that again. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Say priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You may be seated. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, chosen generation. He chose you. Our job is to be priest. Do you agree with that? Now, to be a priest, we don't really use the word a lot today. The only time we think of priest probably is when we think of Catholicism. We think of the Catholic Church. They have priests, and usually you hear about them in the news in a bad sense. But I'm sure there's good priests out there that are just serving, that you never hear much about them. You just hear about the bad ones. But for us to be priests, it's kind of tough, Shane, to be a priest if you don't know what a priest is. And we've been called to be that, and to be a priest, we need to go back into the Old Testament and figure out what a priest was all about. The issue is there was priestly work going on very early in the Bible before a priest was ever called a priest. Because what a priest does is he sacrifices. He's part of the sacrifice to make access. Amen? We see it in the Old Testament, but I remember some years back, T.D. Jakes, pre-Diddy. he taught on what it was to be a priest. And what was interesting about his sermon is he said, the first priest that we read about in the Bible was God himself. And if you think about it, if you go back that far, then the truth is God was operating as a priest for Adam and Eve. After he created everything, Johnny, he rested. And after that rest, God got busy. Because the Bible talks about his voice walking in the cool of the day. And I don't know how voices walk. I'm not really sure how that works. But God's voice walked. God was busy right off the bat in relationship. Let me tell you what God desires. Relationship. He don't desire religion. He desires relationship. And so he walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Sin entered the world. We know the story. And then Adam tried to cover himself with figs and fig leaves. And then we see that God is the one who began to, again, act like the priest. It was God that made them coats. It was God that made Adam and Eve coats. So there had to be a sacrifice so that they could be covered. So God first, I mean, think about this. God creates, I don't know how long it went. Not really sure how long it lasted, but I know this, that it's, I don't think it was very long, that God is resting and then not long from that, he's sowing. God is making a covering. He's creating a covering, but he's doing that with a sacrifice. Knowing, for some of y'all that's never thought about this, knowing that those leaves that Adam and Eve had sewn together as a covering were disconnected from life and they were going to die. But this covering was a more permanent thing that God made, but it required sacrifice. We go to Abel and we can see that Abel would bring a sacrifice to God. He would bring a lamb, and Cain didn't quite get it. Now, this is speculation, but it's educated speculation, that the enemy understood a little bit more than we gave him credit for, because as he seen the sacrifice to cover Adam and Eve, then here's Abel bringing a sacrifice that would be acceptable to God, and Cain's wasn't. So the enemy had to recognize that this sacrifice meant something, and I believe it was the enemy that put it in the heart of Cain to stop Abel. It wasn't necessarily Abel that he was after. It was after the fact that he understood that a sacrifice made things right with God. Are you following me? That he didn't want that to get in their mind. So Cain rises up. But the Bible says that after Seth, men begin to call on the name of the Lord. Amen? So we see something going on, because the enemy tried to stop the priesthood from a... He tried to stop a sacrifice and being acceptable by a sacrifice. Man, I feel preaching right now, but I can't get to it yet. Because the sacrifice is what made them acceptable. The enemy would try to stop that. Then we move not long from that. The evilness of man was evil continually. God decided he was going to destroy mankind. He does it with Noah. Noah finds grace in his sight. And I want to throw this in there right now. I don't know how good Noah's sons were, but I know because they were related to him, they were saved. It's about relationship. It's about relation. They were saved because they had relationship. They were in relationship with Noah. Amen. So if I'm going to be saved, Sam, I got to be saved because I'm in relationship with the Savior. If I'm going to be delivered, it's because I'm in relationship with the one who delivers. If I'm going to be sanctified, it's because I'm in relationship with the sanctifier. If I'm going to be justified, it's because I'm in relationship with the justifier. If I'm going to be healed, it's because I'm in relationship with the healer. If I'm going to anything in this life, that if I'm going to get there, it's because I'm in relationship with him. Every good thing, every perfect thing comes down from the Father. Father of lights. If I've got any good thing in my life, it's because I've been in relationship with him. It's about relationship. Amen. Noah gets off the boat, and before he builds a house, He builds an altar because he's acting in the place of the priest. Now, if you read Old Testament, you're going to find out that the priesthood and the government was usually separate. And they kept it separate. It was Saul who was king that got in trouble when he started acting as a priest. Amen? So you see that the government part of it, the kingship and the priest were separated. But then that there comes along this guy named Melchizedek. And the Bible tells us that he was a king. Let's go Genesis 14, 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return. Hold on, let me back up. Let me talk about Abraham. I left Abraham out. Let me talk about Abraham. Abraham occupied the place of a priest. He said, I and the lad go yonder to worship. What that meant was, we're going to sacrifice. Are y'all in a good mood tonight? Is it okay if I preach on us for a minute? Y'all want to get beat up just a little bit? Let me help us beat it. Somebody said, bring it. When they're on their way, Sam, to yonder to worship, Isaac knew what was going on because he said, hey, Dad, I see the knife, I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? So evidently Isaac had seen worship before. I got to put this in there because this has been on my heart. Are we showing the next generation enough that if worship ain't right, they know something's missing? Let me say that again. Do we have our worship right to the point that when the next generation looks, they say, hey, something's missing here. The song may sound right. The music, the notes may be right, and everything may be right. But if the anointing is not there and there's no sacrifice, then that I want them to be able to say, something is missing here. We live in a world where kids are looking for something. They know something is missing. They just don't know exactly what it is. I think it's the church's responsibility to operate in the priesthood so that we can say, I want to show you what is missing, what has been missing. Because let's be honest, when we were in sin, we all knew something was missing. And we searched trying to find something to fill that emptiness and that void. And it was so hard to find, so we searched because something was missing. That something that was missing is Jesus. So Abraham operating as the priest, we're going yonder to worship, and they make their way up the mountain. But we know the story. He said, I see the knife, I see the wood, but where's the sacrifice? God will provide himself a sacrifice. Hold on, we're going to get there. Abraham, then comes this guy that's kind of mysterious, Melchizedek. And the Bible says that he was a king. See, the scripture that I read to us is, we are a royal priesthood. Royal priesthood. We don't see this in the Old Testament until we come to Melchizedek. All right, you with me? Genesis 14, 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter, and of the kings that were with him. And next verse, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, which later is Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, he's king. It's going to get good if you hold on. King of Salem brought forth bread and wine and was the priest of the Most High God. This is the first time we see royalty come together with priesthood. So we get a glimpse of royal priesthood. Watch this. What did the royal priest bring? What he brought was bread and wine. There is a reason why we do communion with the same stuff that he was doing way back then. Why? Because a royal priesthood understands the importance of the bread and the wine. Let me say it like this. We have got to give our generation bread and wine. We've got to give them truth and we've got to give them spirit. If we give them bread and no wine, then they're in trouble. If we give them wine and no bread, they're in trouble. We got people on both sides of the spectrum. We got some people that want to intellectually talk about bread and never have any room for the spirit. We got another group that's so fanatic that it's all about the feeling and it's not about truth. I'm here to tell you that the priesthood understands that if we got bread and we got wine, when the word and the spirit come together, something begins to take place that we can't do on our own. We got to know that. Because we're the priesthood. Oh, it's so important that we get this. If we put too much emphasis on truth with no spirit, we're missing it because the spirit is the spirit of truth. But if we put so much emphasis on the other way, we're in trouble that way too. Because it takes the bread and the wine. It takes the word and the spirit. We see it. We see it. When God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. But the spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Spirit. And God said, word, let there be light. And I'm going to tell you what happens when the spirit and the word come together. Illumination takes place. Revelation takes place. Those that walk in darkness can't walk in darkness anymore. That's why he said, let us show forth the praises of him that brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Do we understand how important it is to have them both together so that we can serve a generation well and be that person that puts a covering over those who are underneath us and around us? Melchizedek, the priest, the king, and the priest. Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, until the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If we are going to be priests, we have got to learn how to serve. If we are going to operate in what God has ordained us to operate, we have got to learn how to serve. But you know what we live in? We live in a generation of self-serving people. We live in a generation of egocentric people. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And you know what? We live in a generation where parents are making that way worse. Because in our love and in our kindness, we don't want our kids to have it as rough as we have. The problem is we are raising a generation of takers that do not know how to give. It's all about take, 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 take. And if it's not good enough and it's not enough for them, they'll walk out on it. They'll walk out on their marriage. They'll walk out on their church. They'll walk out on their parents. They'll walk out on their friends. Because if it's not good enough and I'm not getting enough out of this, then the problem is they don't know how to serve. I refuse to pastor a church that don't know how to serve. We want to be blessed and take and get and get and get. But we got to know how to serve because we're the priest. We're the priest. And what a priest does is serve. When the priest would stand and do his duty, he didn't look at the person bringing the sacrifice. He looked at the sacrifice. You know what that means? That means that if I look to Jesus, then the sacrifice is good enough for anybody that brings it. So what am I going to give them? I got to give them Jesus. I don't get to give them my idea, my philosophy, my thought. I got to give them Jesus. Because that sacrifice is enough. Robin, I'm convinced if I can get a person to come to Jesus and learn about him after he washes them in his blood, after he cleanses them and he wants relationship with them, if I can get them into relationship with him and let them fall in love with him the way he loves them, there is nothing to worry about in that person. It's all because he's enough. It's the blood, 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 it's the blood. It's a Sunday sermon, but Jesus hung naked on the cross, not a little towel that you see in the pictures. But he was covered. He was covered in his own blood. The blood was enough. The blood was enough. So as a priest, I have to believe that the blood is enough. But he just didn't make us priests. He made us kings and priests. So Ecclesiastes 8 and 4. Where the word of a king is, there is. Y'all said that like you were depressed. Where the word of the king is, there's power. Power. Oh, there's power in the blood. There's power in the priesthood. There's power in service. But there's also power in being a king. The power is in the word. Y'all got to hear me. You got to hear me. The power. Any questions? The problem is, we don't talk like we should be talking. We talk haphazardly sometimes. That's why the verses started out, take me back to the verses at the very beginning. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envy, and all what? All evil speakings. All of them. All of them. Lay aside all of them. All evil. You know, that evil speaking is, if you really break it down, it's talking about slander. It means speaking evil of somebody else. See, you got to understand, you're a priest, but you're a king. And you got to be really careful what you say. Because where the word of the king is, there's power. There's power. We've got more power than we realize because he has made us thus. We've got more power than we realize because he made us to have power. When he left, he gave the power to the church. And he's called us, Eddie, to speak things. Even though they're not, we can speak them like they were. Why? Because I've been made a king. Jesus was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He came as a king and a priest, and his kids were made kings and priests. And in that, we got power. So what are we going to do with it? Complaining's not getting it done. I'll tell you all this real quick. We go back and forth. The guys at the plant, they ribbed me pretty hard. I ribbed them back pretty hard. I texted them one day, and they were complaining about something, and I texted them, and I said, you know what? I'm tired of trying to impress you guys. I said, if we run coal too dirty, you're like, this stuff's hard to clean. If we run good coal, you're like, this coal runs so fast, we just need more of it, and y'all can't mine enough of it. I said, either way, it's wham, wham, wham. I said, all I get from y'all is wham, wham, wham. I said, I'm tired of trying to impress you. We're just going to do our job, and I'm not worried about you, so you can wham, wham, wham all you want. And I got a text back, and it said, wow. And I text back and said, you misspelled wah. Crying don't get it done. Complaining don't get it done. Johnny, if we don't understand this, who's going to understand it? Because the truth is, there are people sitting in churches right now that do not know who they are. But I hope that you don't leave here today not knowing who you are. I want you to know who you are. You are a king and you are a priest. And because you are a king and a priest, you got power. And not only do you got power to speak things, you got power to serve. Amen. Because the greatest king and priest of them all was Jesus. And let me tell you what he was. He was a servant. He was a servant that spoke the word. As a matter of fact, Kevin, he didn't speak the word. He was the word. The word would speak the word. And when the word comes together with the spirit, can you imagine a church that is on fire with the word, with a heart to serve? I believe the enemy would get a little nervous when we got up. It's a sacrifice. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. It is the fruit of our lips. Let's be honest. Sometimes praise is a sacrifice. Don't raise your hand. Don't tell me. But did anybody in here almost not come tonight? I'm looking around to see if I can tell by the look on your faces. They come to me, I'm ready to preach, and they look at me and they say, here I am, keep me awake if you can. Is that how I should enter into the house of God? That it's your job to keep me awake? Make it entertaining so I'll stay awake. Should that be the way that I come into the house of God? What's in it for me? Bless me, bless me, bless me. No, there has to be a point where we offer sacrifice. You know what that means? Sometimes you're tired. Praise him anyway. Sometimes you're weak. Praise him anyway. Sometimes you're delirious. Praise him anyway. Sometimes you don't even know what's going on around you. Praise him anyway. You are a priest. Offer up that sacrifice because it's the fruit of our lips. Let me tell you what happens, though. When he hears your praise, God begins to take notice. And when God takes notice, he inhabits the praises of his people. Even if it is a tired praise, he comes to where we are, and where the king is, there's power. I'll give you a testimony. Aunt Mary. You remember Aunt Mary? That lady came in church on a cane. I remember I was a young man. Robin, she came in on a cane. Go up there and get in her pew. And when I say she needed that cane, didn't she, Brother Eddie? She'd get over there. All kinds of excuses. She'd start worshiping. Next thing you know, that cane would be hanging on the back of the pew, and Aunt Mary's gone. That's a true story. I watched it with my own eyes. Came in limping, but she wasn't limping long. Why? Because when that begins to come together, things begin to take place that we can't do. Our talent can't do it. Our ability can't do it. But the Spirit can when the word comes together. Kings and priests. Kings and priests. I read a thing, it's been years ago, and it said, man, I would love to have the intellect of a Baptist, the passion of a Pentecostal, the zeal of a Jehovah Witness. Why don't we just be kings and priests? Because if we're kings and priests, it takes all that into consideration. Amen? Because we got bread and we got wine. And if you got bread and wine, you got everything you need to turn your world upside down. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Let me back up here real quick and then I'm going to let you go. Wow, it's early. If so, be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted of the grace of God? To whom coming as unto a living stone disallowed, indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. God chose it to work this way, Sam. And there's nothing I can do to change it. So what I've got to do is come in alignment with the plan of God, do what he's asked me to do, and watch what happens. That's so profound, but it's so difficult on our flesh. Say amen. Because my flesh is lazy. My flesh is sorry. My flesh has a mind of its own sometimes. Looking around. Anybody with me? You're like, I cannot believe I just said that. Well, it was you that said it, though. There is a battle that takes place. But we've got to ask. I want you to ask yourself this right now. Is it worth the struggle? Is it worth the fight? Is it worth it? You getting ready to find out. If you signed up for our fast, you're going to find out if it's worth it. Is it worth it? Is it worth pushing your plate back to say, God, I need your presence more than I need this, because we've got a generation that needs to see the glory of God. Every movement is won or lost in the third generation. I know we're not a movement. I know that. We're the church. The church will not go down. But I do know this. When a group gets revived and they get on fire for God and they really believe what they're doing is right and they're contagious and they tell their kids about it, their kids can believe it because they've seen it. You're believable when you see it. The problem is the grandkids come along. And then you got mom and dad who's trying to explain to them what grandpa saw, and they didn't see it, and it doesn't work that way. Because they're like, I don't know about this. I really don't know about this. So I'm praying. What are we going to do? Are we in that generation? Eddie's told me a lot of stories. I haven't seen them. I tried to portray them to my kids and tried to hold on to that vision. And now I got grandkids. I do know this, but if there's a group in the middle of all that that says, I don't care what the other generation saw, I want to see it for myself. There's got to be somebody that stirs that up in them, because if you're in a state of hungry, you'll be filled. If you're in a state of thirsty, you'll be filled. We got to somehow cultivate that hunger and that thirst. How do we do that? With bread and wine, with word and spirit. If you give it to them, I'm telling you, glory. I mean, you know. Social drinking's hard on a lot of people because they drink a little wine. You know what they want? They want more. Bread, carbs, let me tell you about them. Eat them in the morning. Bad idea. You want them the rest of the day. Can I get a witness? Why is it that? I'm going to tell you right now, if we get the word the way it ought to get and the spirit, they're going to want more. I'm telling you, you can't get enough of Jesus. You can't get enough of his spirit. You can't get enough of his life. You can't get enough of his resurrection. You can't get enough of that. We got to cultivate a hunger and a thirst among us so that we can begin to see God move. Are you with me? This ain't on Eddie anymore. It's on you. He served his time. Can I tell him what you told me, Eddie? I asked him to preach one time. He looked at me and he said, don't mess with my peace. I said, I respect that. But if I ask you to preach and you say, don't mess with my peace, I'm going to say, what is your problem? You have not arrived yet. I need you, because listen, this is a priesthood. I said, this is a priesthood. That means there's more than one. We're in the hood, the priesthood. And if we're, Johnny said, come on, dog. If we're in the priesthood, that means it is a body of believers. So if I call you and I say, hey, man, I need you Sunday, man, to bring a word of passion. And you look at me and say, well, I was just wanting to enjoy my Sunday. It's not your time. It ain't my time. And look at my beard compared to yours. It ain't my time. It ain't your time. It's time. Look back here. Look at her. See Charlie? See Charlie? She's going to be sitting in a church service, and she don't even have to really understand exactly what you're saying to feel something, because when the word is coming forth, the wine starts moving, and she don't even have, but she knows something is real about that, because listen, the God that created her, that spoke her into existence, when she hears his word, she'll say, that's his voice. That I don't know exactly what he's saying, but I know it's his voice. And if I know his voice, it's because the priesthood got in their place and did what God ordained them to do. They can hear his voice without really knowing what he's saying. Amen? It's weird. I don't know how people do it. It's weird. Kid will scream out and they're like, that's mine. I'm like, it was a scream. Oh, I know that was mine. I can understand about it. He said, my sheep, they know my voice. And a stranger, they won't follow. So what's the challenge? What am I telling us? Why am I preaching all this? I'm preaching all this to set up Sunday sermon, so come back. Because I'm going to have fun Sunday. I'm working a little bit right now, but Sunday's going to be fun. When they come to you, and they're looking for it, there's two things you can give them. Bread and wine. Because we're after the order of Melchizedek. Because Jesus' priesthood was after the order of Melchizedek. And he's made us to be priests after him. And what he brought was what worked. Bread and wine. Bread and wine. Is it fermented, Pastor? Bread and wine. But is it gluten-free? Bread and wine. Does it fit me just right? Bread and wine. Bread and wine. Philosophy don't work. Bread, wine. My ideas don't work. Bread, wine. Why? Because I'm a priest. It's all I got to bring. This, I'm a king and a priest. Oh, that's so good. I'm a king and a priest. And so when I speak, things change. Amen. Come on, Aaron. It's a sacrifice, man. Relationship is a sacrifice. Amen? My wife loves me. I don't blame her. But in that love, she has to sacrifice. Amen? Amen. Amen. She's over excited. She's about to shout over here. I'm 48 years old, and I have talks with myself. I say, Damon, do better, man. Do better. Just do better. And sometimes I think I'm doing better. And then she comes in and says, are these socks clean or dirty? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Tracy, quit giving me looks. I'm going to try to do even better. Any kind of relationship, there's sacrifice. I want you to hear this if you don't hear nothing else I say. He's done all the sacrifice on his side that needs to be done. He's coming back, but not to get beat again. That's over. That sacrifice is done. So if we're going to be royal priesthood, the sacrifice has to come from us to walk in his truth. Amen? Amen. So I want you to get excited about sacrifice. If you're tired right now, obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, the Lord asks us to praise him. What if it's an sacrificial obedience? That's like even better, right? So if you're tired and you know he deserves praise and you give it to him, do you don't think he takes notice? We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He knows what you're going through. Shane, you don't have to put this on there, but I got to tell this. I was on an elevator today with a lady.